You're listening to the Asian Action Cast, the best and worst of Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. The podcast contains coarse language and adult themes.
When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja, the tea party's over!
Time for you to leave.
But when it's more than one click, it's too many.
Yes, right. That's exactly right. We're on the air. Good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Asian Action Cast. My name is Sam, and I'm joined tonight. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Rachel.
Hi.
Nathan.
Hey.
And Mikey.
Hello.
Sitting around the table that has all the fun and the potted plant, we're here to talk about Asian action films, bringing you the best and worst of Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. We review, recap, and revamp what we think are pretty special films.
In this case, not so much. I mean, it's special.
This had a very good treatment, this Blu-ray treatment.
Oh, it looked nice.
Yeah, so clearly enough people thought that it was influential. Would it be influential?
I don't know, man.
You don't think so? You think they don't just remaster everything, do they?
Yeah, they do now, I'm pretty sure.
They're going through a list?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us about this movie, Nathan? What is it? Where is it? Why
it's Yakuza Wolf. Ha-ha-ho!
Oh, that's a cool fucking name, Yakuza Wolf.
Yeah, it's writing. That name is writing checks. The movie ain't cashing.
What's the full title?
Yakuza Wolf. What is it?
Yakuza Wolf. I perform murder. And if you translate it in Japanese, it comes out as "I'll do the killing," which sounds way more tough to me. I'll do the killing.
Yeah, I like that better actually.
It is much better, isn't it? It's like a promise, and it. It's like a service he provides, and it's a promise to you. It's like, you hire Yakuza Wolf, I perform murder.
He's pretty much on a pro bono sort of situation this time. He's like, he's doing it on his own.
He's not getting paid.
He helps that one guy free.
Yeah.
He does eventually kill that guy.
It's kind of because their things align.
Yeah.
You know?
That's tough, though, because, I mean, if your business is murder and all you do is murder, maybe you get confused with, like, do I pay this man with money or murder?
We're not on a barter system here. It's not barter town.
His butt's writing checks that can't cash.
Yeah. I just bought a sandwich. Can I murder someone for you? Half a murder.
What if I just rough you up?
Yeah, what if I just mash your boobie just a little bit? Just really hard. Just grind it. So why do you own this? Where did this come from?
This isn't a Sonny Chiba collection. I own that because I own another movie called Shogun Shadow, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
So this is an incidental acquisition.
Incidental acquisition.
Have you guys done Shogun Shadow before?
Yeah, man. You missed that one.
Check the archives of the Asian Action Cast film.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it is. It's a banger, though.
Beware, though. It does contain adult themes.
Shogun Shadow has like scenes of like
music.
Ninjas flying through windows shooting arrows at people. It's a great movie.
It has hair metal as well.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah. Run. Yeah,
it's a good movie.
I'm taking this home. I got to see that.
Banging.
It's a great film. This film, different, though.
Oh, this movie's...
Different vibe.
This movie makes me sad.
Oh, okay. Well, let's do our session then. Our pitch.
Before we get to the pity party, let's get some info going.
Some trivia, Scott. You got some?
Yeah, this movie came out in 1972. Directed by a guy called Ryuichi Takamori, who's done some films such as Bad Guy Blues, Game of Chance 1 and 2, and movies with kamikaze in the title. I'm not sure if they're like a collective of movies with the kamikaze character or story. Seems to be.
Maybe he's into waves.
Could be. It seems to be like similar to this movie. It's sort of a level below, maybe not as well known, but sort of violent and lewd, yeah. I guess. And that's all I have for the moment.
Exploitation comes to mind when I...
Sorry. Oh, this
Toei film.
This is definitely Grindhouse. Grindhousey.
Because it's a Toei film. And what's his face? Sonny Chiba's in it, obviously. I don't know. We mentioned that. Shinichi Chiba. He was contracted to Toei, I believe, at the time. So this is one of those situations like Shaw Brothers where you're contracted to like a movie studio. He hadn't made it big yet. This was before the Street Fighter after he exploded onto the cinema. So I think him, and also I think the director was also contracted to Toei. So this was something that they probably knew that Sonny Chiba was going to be a leading man, or is a leading man. They just needed to find the right vehicle for him, I think.
And they're looking, because this feels very Street Fighter-y.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of just tweaked with the formula a bit, didn't they, until they got it right?
This is more Yakuza-y. Like, a lot of this feels like... I've got a bunch of Yakuza movies up there, and this feels a lot like 80% of them. Maybe the action's a little bit... Like, there might be... Per minute, there might be a bit more action and a bit more booby than most of them, but for the most part, this is what they look like and how they are.
Look, completely unqualified, and this is an off-the-cuff piece of trivia. I think this movie has the most boobies of any movie we've done on the Asian Action Cast.
I think you might be correct.
The most boobies.
Yet no soap.
No soap land scenes, no. They're exposed, cold, frightened boobies that have been exposed to the air. And it's just every other scene is kind of
smut. That's how he gets all of his information. That's how he recovers. Like, he just goes back to some lady and grabs boobs.
It's a video game.
Let's just shoot Larry.
Yeah, follow the sperm. Any other trivia for this film?
That's all I got.
Yeah. All right. Well, for people who might not know about Grindhouse Films or Sonny Chiba, how would you pitch this film? And we can start with Scott, if you have one ready to go.
This movie is, from what I've read, is compared to a lot of famous westerns and stuff, and movies like Django and Yojimbo. And I haven't seen those movies, but those movies are called spaghetti westerns, though. So is this a ramen western?
Oh, did you just coin that right now?
I kind of did.
All right, we invented it, ramen western.
No, I was just going to say, like,
I love how we just do that. We don't even look into Wikipedia. We don't fucking check anything.
I like it. It's a ramen western. You heard it here first.
And Clint Eastwood cleans up the Yakuza.
Clint Eastwood cleans up the Yakuza. He does. That's exactly what happens.
It's a little bit like Doberman Cop, too. The other Sonny Chiba film. Where he's like a guy from the sticks who comes to find a woman. Like a kidnapped woman or a woman that's disappeared.
It seems to be a running theme of his films.
Well, it's just the thing that they do in these films. They need a reason for some guy to beat the fuck out of. They got to fridge someone.
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck about the women, really.
Nah.
Notice how it has to be like a family member, like the sister. Not like his girlfriend or anything. No, that's a bridge too far. It's always a sister.
Sister's family.
Yeah. And you feel that obligation, I suppose.
Well, they do.
But at the same time,
you wouldn't.
You're not afraid to smack her in the face.
All right, Rachel.
I was going to say, for a few dollars more, you can get a fistful of boobies.
That's pretty good.
Could you maybe change that to a claw full of boobies? Because they were not nice, those boobies.
Oh, pretty rough.
For a few dollars more, for a few yen more.
Oh!
You can say it's not really full of the good, but mostly the bad people and definitely lots of ugly people.
You're on fire.
Clint movies, if you want, and make puns of them.
So what, the mid and the ugly?
Wow, you know what? I was going to say something about boobies, but I feel like that is a... That's too low-hanging fruit for me. I'm more upmarket than that.
They're old, are they?
Hey?
Old.
Yeah, they're old. No, they were young boobies.
You can say hang them high.
Yeah. They were high. They were perky. I didn't see any saggy boobies. I think they would have all passed the pencil test. No, I was thinking this movie, if I were to describe it, it would kind of be the misogynist gunslinger. Because I thought his hat is really evocative. It's like a...
This print was really good because when the blacks were black, they were real
so black,
and that really helped because he's a man in black, so he would be in the background a lot, and there'd just be black silhouette.
But it's good because they used good use of like reflectors and lighting to actually highlight
faces
and stuff in the scenery. But yeah, there you go. That's
yours. Oh shit! Now it's my turn. this motherfucker loves boobies and hates birds.
He does hate... What is that? Why does he hate birds?
I don't know, but he does.
The female one or the flying one?
The flying birds.
He hates it all.
I think it's just an allegory.
He just hates things that get to be free?
No. Like, he sees birds as chicks and chicks as girls.
He can't reach their breasts. They're in the sky.
That's true. Maybe he likes eating bird breast, but... Yeah, I think he has a thing against birds. The other thing I would like to think about is like people with disabilities, they can do shooting too. That's the other thing that I get from this.
By the end of this film. That was stupid.
We get so that. Dumb. I think that's stupid. So fucking dumb.
No, he's a positive role model.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Anyway, Mike?
Shake, rattle, and roll down the old tumbleweed.
What?
Huh? What?
Did you just explain yourself? Did you have a stroke?
I just had a stroke. Yes. No. I was trying to allude to the lovely shaky camera in this.
Oh yeah,
it sucks. And tumbleweed to Western kind of thing, but it didn't really work well.
No, you had it on. Like, it's very Star Trekian. When they have fights, it's like, whoa!
When they're running to the car. Like, literally, he's running with the camera and we're doing that. That's like, they've never heard of a Steadicam.
Well, they haven't. I think it might be... I think at this point, Steadicams are very expensive. There's no gimbals out there.
Can I counterpoint here? Not to get too ahead of ourselves, because we've still got the percentage.
Yes, percentage action.
But to counterpoint the argument of this shaky cam, and it is a bit nauseating and hard to see, but I read a review and they said, the camera is struggling to keep up with the action, which makes it seem more frenetic.
Well, it does.
Interesting.
This isn't bloody Bourne or something where they're trying to make it feel like you're in the fight. This is, they're actually situated back, observing the fight.
There are scenes where he's trying to catch up with a bunch of people and it seems like, oh shit, I don't know where to go. And it's like, maybe take it from that perspective.
There was one bit at the beginning where they were trying to stylize it when they're like on angles and tipping. I'm like, you're trying to do something at least at that point, but other points it was just like...
Look, they're trying to do stuff all the time in this movie. There's a bit where there's a lady with a boob out on a fucking crucifix. I'm just saying, these people think they're way artier than they are.
This is true.
What they need to learn is how to pan a camera as opposed to running and keeping up with them. Just turn it. Just turn to the side.
Yeah,
smooth.
Exactly. I don't think they want that.
I think they are. You say they're not Bourne Identity. I don't think they're good enough to be Bourne Identity. They don't have the editing down. They don't have digital editing yet or anything. But I think they want that. I think they're going for that Star Trek shit where you get the camera and then you just shake it around.
You're in the midst of it.
I wonder if their stunt people even like skilled enough and that's what they're trying to make up for. Because I think
quite possibly.
Like, you know, Sonny Chiba's stunt team, whatever they're called again, action team.
At this point, he probably doesn't have one. It's very early in his career, right?
Like, they make better use of them in like Sister Street Fighter and stuff like that. And that's when you want the close-up. Maybe these guys aren't that good, so we'll just like pan the
building up
thing like crazy so you can't see anything.
They got together and they were like, wow, you guys are so shit.
The action in this movie is... it's like American-style 70s action.
Yes.
Like, it is. Yeah. It's punches and kicks like they have in those movies.
Maybe all the Yakuza guys are so ugly, like, oh, we're going to film far away and shake the camera around.
Yes.
They are not good-looking.
We can't afford good-looking people. I thought the girls were okay.
That's where all the money went.
Yeah, I guess.
That's why there's all close-ups of them.
And probably the drugs.
Yeah. She could have worn a bit of lipstick, though. Lipstick's just so pale. It's a pale man.
I think that she might have been wearing a pale lipstick, specifically.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They saved the big... red rouge one for the sister.
Okay, I'm uncultured.
So, this movie has a pretty basic plot.
Hang on.
What?
Where are you going to the plot? We haven't kind of given our audiences a feel for how much action they're getting themselves into.
Okay, they're getting...
Percentage-wise?
Yes.
All right. Can I troubleshoot this section right now?
Yes, troubleshoot.
And we can cut this out if you want, but how about for this section where we all guess, because usually it goes... Sam guesses, and we all go, yeah, it sounds about right. how about we flip a coin and decide pre-podcast, someone has to pick what they feel is a percentage, and then you say, I think it's X percent, and then we
all yell out a percentage at a count of three or something.
That's going to go well.
Excellent podcasting advice. Just yell all of us at the same time.
I've got like a warmer, colder thing where we go, who thinks it's... Raise your hands. I know it's a podcast medium. Who thinks that is less than 50%?
I want a question answered first.
Oh, yeah.
What defines
action? Does that rough sex count as action?
What kind of action?
That's a good question. Can we throw it to
the rough sex count as...
Does rough sex count as action? No. In my house, it does. Asian action.
Okay, so less than 50.
Less than 50, Aaron? Anyone?
Yeah, I'm
20% lingering shots on Sonny Chiba's face.
I mean, the opening 10 minutes is pretty action. I'd say about borderline just below 50.
Right, okay, right. Because in my head, I was thinking 35%.
I was thinking about 30 to 35 for actual, like, fights.
I'm sorry, 38%.
38%.
I think 40, upwards of 40.
Yeah, right.
Really? Okay. You think 40? I think
just
there's 40. A lot of the runtime of this movie is Sonny Chiba standing in a shadow. I mean,
and having those talks in the bar and other things like that.
Do you know what? I mean, like, whether we go 30 to 50, that's a fair chunk of action. Enough action to call it an action film.
Yes, but right? It's not good.
It's
stylish, but it's not good.
You could have more. And I mean, to be honest with you, when there's not action, there's boobies. So, like, You get
what's a 100% action movie?
100% action movie. The Raid Redemption.
100% action movie is Crazy Samurai 400. I think literally there's maybe 3 minutes of the movie that's not in a singular fight.
That's fine.
We should watch that for the education.
No, it's terrible.
But see, that's the thing.
Exactly.
It's,
perfect.
The beauty is that I don't actually necessarily think that 100% action is a better action
film. No, it's
not.
It's not.
Right? Because I think you do need to have bits that explain what the hell's going on.
Especially that one. That one is one singular fight sequence in one take.
All right.
Oh, cool. Jesus.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
We give it a watch. We should watch it at some point. It's something we should watch, but with Rachel because she hates Tack, and that's fine. I don't like Tack either.
Sakaguchi.
Oh, it's just a little bit annoying. A little bit annoying.
Isn't Sakaguchi the guy that did that? What was that movie that had
the lolly goth girls?
Yeah. Okay.
Where it becomes a god demon at the end.
That's right. And the music contrived. By what's his name? Gray or something?
Dorian Gray. Anyway, that's another movie that's worse than this one. Actually, surprisingly, worse than the movie we're talking about.
Just gonna talk for the audience here and go what.
What?
You were there. Gray. We watched that at your house.
What's it called?
D-I-R. What are you talking about?
The name of the band is Der and Grey,
What's
I think.
What's the movie called?
Oh, fuck. I can't remember.
And didn't it have Nicolas Cage's
Death Trance.
Kid? Death Trance. It was Death Trance, right. Yeah.
Bam!
Sorry, not Nicolas Cage's kid. It has, what's his
Steven
name?
Steven Seagal's kid in it.
Yeah, check that the archives.
Yes.
The Action Cast. Okay, thank you for the context. He was like, oh, no, this lolly goth thing. I was like, huh?
Lolly goth.
Okay.
Okay. So, yes, there you go. Like, say 30 to 50% action in this film.
Yeah, it's
a... Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, I interrupted you.
No, okay, thank you.
I interrupted both of you.
Oh. Excuse me, sir. Please, step through the door.
After you.
Okay. What's our next segment? The plot.
The story.
What happens in this film?
Do you want me to go for it?
Not much at the same time.
It's your film.
Okay, so what happens in this film is there's a dude whose family owns... Sonny Chiba's character, parent, dad, is running... Like a small mob, small-time mob, we think? Mid-size. Let's go mid-size mob.
Mid-size.
They get killed by the Omuras, right?
The clan Omura, yeah.
Yep. Who are beefing with this other group.
Kyokai?
Yeah, right? And so he comes back into this milieu, and he's trying to essentially avenge his dad. But as part of this, he finds out from the cops that his sister's still alive, and she's essentially in sex slavery. So for most of the movie, he's trying to figure out where his sister is. It feels like about 40 minutes of the runtime. And he's fighting people to find this information, fucking people to find this information. Like, and doing everything but actually asking questions.
And playing the two gangs against each
other. Yes, in a Yojimbo fashion. And then he sells out both the teams. He finds both gangs. He finds his sister. He doesn't help her, really. He just gets her out of this place and lets her free into the wild, like she's
into
some
the traffic.
Does she die? I don't know.
No, she's not dead in the ambulance. They show her face in the ambulance, and she's not dead. She's holding her like medallion, whatever the
it's
fuck.
Like it knocks some sense into her more than his well, hand.
He slapped the shit out of his sister. Yeah, so
alone himself.
So yes. He finds her, and then he finishes the job by killing the guy who's in charge of the bosses of the Omuras, the next level up.
The because
fucking like turtles, it's turtles all the way down, it's Yakuza bosses all the way up. Jesus Christ! The end. That's the plot, pretty much.
That's the plot.
Yeah, there's some back and forth. There's some double crosses. There's a guy who's been hired by the boss who's trying to talk him out of doing it because he's not going to win, and he's the guy in all of these Yakuza movies. There's always a guy in the Yakuza movies just like, I'm kind of your equal, but I'm working for the bad guys, and it's silly, bro. Don't do it. We're both professionals.
I don't think the film really takes that many pains to explain to you what's going on. It's much more interested in setting up uncomfortable discussions.
And interactions. Yeah.
Whether it's a very... I don't know. I don't know whether the sex scenes are supposed to be erotic more than uncomfortable. There's a lot of booby mashing, but it's usually you can't tell whether they're enjoying it or if it's going for this hard boiled noir type thing, right? And then you've got the scenes where him talking with the other Yakuza. It's very tense because they're mostly standoffs.
Yeah.
Where anyone could get shot or killed at any moment. And I never understood why. Or how you would be comfortable and just be so chilled as fuck when you know that they could kill you at any time, right? I wouldn't pull that trigger if I were you. And you're like, well, they could. They actually, they probably should.
It's kind of painting a world of Yakuza violence and so forth, but it's not particularly an interesting world. It's kind of, you know...
It's very small.
Very small and very, you know, boring, really.
But they don't develop any of the characters really well enough for you to kind of go, oh, that Yakuza guy, oh, I don't like
him. We only see the Yakuza dealing in their natural habitat when they randomly find and rape a woman.
Habitat. Yes. And it is very, very tropes.
Yeah, it's all tropes.
They've got, you know, the stupid Yakuza that licks a lollipop and the one with buck teeth and, you know, and the one that wears a classy tie and shit. And that's kind of all you get to know about them.
But the closest they get to developing extra characters are the cops who are briefly in the movie.
They're not really good guys either.
No one's good guys.
They're basically happy to see the Yakuza kill each other.
Yeah, they're like, whatever, man. I need to get a promotion. And like you said, the hired gun who sort of
he's trying to warn Sonny Chiba off, but Sonny Chiba ain't having it. That guy should have probably shot Sonny Chiba the time he won because he did win once.
I reckon everybody in that film wanted to kill Sonny Chiba, and they all could have at some point in the film.
They didn't. So what you're saying is we should just kill our enemies instantly, no mercy.
Well, Sonny Chiba, who is putting... Like, he has killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they just wanted... They wanted to have him out of the way. Because he really hasn't... He isn't adding value to anyone. And they're Yakuza. Why would you Yakuza keep a guy around that's not adding value to the organization?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Strength in numbers, man.
I guess, but he's not even their Yakuza.
Sorry, his efficiency rate is not good enough for this Yakuza company.
Yeah. His KPIs
are way down.
His KPIs, yeah.
It's like, that's his resume. I perform murder. Well, how many have you done?
A lot.
Yeah. Oh, against my fucking clan.
We sent him to HR and he murdered HR.
It's kind of, it is that typical, you know, anti-hero kind of thing. You're set up to not really know if you should, like, root for him doing what he's doing because he does a lot of bad shit at the same time. And unnecessary bad shit as well. Like, he just sits there watching them capture and basically rape this girl in a car, and you're like, oh yeah, he's gonna go kill him. No,
he doesn't save her.
He just stands there and watches it.
And there's even a fake out where we think he's killed the dude, because he's killed the dude with a knife while they've been fucking in the very first scene.
Yeah.
But no, that guy's just got, like, erectile dysfunction. He's blown his load before he's even done anything.
Yeah.
It's very funny. And
literally, I mean, it didn't even add any value to the movie to actually watch the whole thing. They could have just, like, said what they were going off to do and do it off screen and then have
But this might make me sound terrible. And I'm just putting it out there. I kind of am sick of people intimating shit in film now. Like, I feel like in the last 5 years, there's been a real reduction in, like, straight up in-my-face violence and straight up in-my-face sex. Like, honestly.
So you're looking for it to come back.
Yeah, I wanted it to come back.
Yeah.
Like it was in the 70s.
Not necessarily like this.
Yeah, you don't get a
I think there's a middle ground. I think there's a healthy middle ground.
If you're looking for sex, you're not going to look for it in a regular movie.
Yeah, but you used to get it in regular movies.
No, but that's it punctuates normal reality. Well, not normal reality, but heightened reality. Like, you don't get the
normal
RoboCop
reality
scene.
People fucking.
You don't get the RoboCop scene where they're like, do-do-do-do-do-do, and then blow his fucking hand off.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't happen anymore.
I tend to agree with Nathan here. Like, I'm not saying these scenes were great and I loved seeing them because they're designed to make you feel a bit uncomfortable and these guys are clearly sleazy. But I don't think, like, reading reviews of this movie, the hand-wringing of all these violent rape scenes, I don't think they were that awful in the context of this is disgusting. It's meant to be disgusting.
It's meant to be titillating.
It is meant to also be
to a male audience.
That was the bit that gives you that gross feeling because that's the point of them in the movie. It's not advancing the plot to a great deal. It's not making you go, gee, I really hate that guy and hope he gets his comeuppance, because they're almost off as, like, a side thought when those particular characters that are performing the rape get off.
Yeah, because the main character doesn't give a shit.
Exactly.
If the main character gave a shit, then it would be a point.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a modern film, it would be punctuated. The main character would care.
But in these old movies.
The fucking bad, like, the good guy is actually a bad guy.
It is effectively, he just sits there and it's like, shit happens.
Yep. I thought the whole reason that he left those guys alive was because he needed them alive to get the information.
That's right. Yeah. He just wanted to find out who they were. But
then he killed them, right?
He is morally questionable.
But that's what I say. That's where it doesn't add value to the plot point. It could have gone off and then he follows them later after they've done their business kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it is added into the movie more as for the
It's for titillation.
Ticket sales.
It's for tickets. It's
on
for
the poster, there's a boob. Oh, I'm going to go see that because it's the 70s.
But there was enough of that already in the movie that I felt that this one
was egregious. It was a little egregious. It was egregious. That one in particular is a bit egregious.
Like, you could have cut out most of the, you know, the titillating scenes and some of the other scenes and made it as a tighter movie, because it's a bit, it's about 15 minutes you could have probably chopped and it wouldn't have mattered that much.
That's right. But that's actually kind of what people are paying for too, though.
True. The whole lesbian gyration fake out thing.
That's one of my favorite parts of this movie.
The orgy room?
The orgy room.
Like, it doesn't seem like a lot of fun, but you know.
There's an orgy room.
There's a sick sitar solo playing for
this. And I would,
it's like a Beatles song.
I would have been more upset with the drugged out hazy orgy room, orgy slave room, if there'd been any dudes in there. But those chicks are just hanging out by themselves. Fucking, that's fine.
There was at least two dudes in there.
Was there?
Was there? Yeah. I saw mostly boobs. But I was mostly disappointed that they didn't have better music in that scene.
No, that's the 70s, man. It's got to be sitar.
You saw those yakuza guys. They kept coming before they had a chance to go. They were like,
Yeah, to be fair, I'm not actually sure if any of these women were actually raped. I don't think these guys made it.
Right. The only character who didn't come within like 10 seconds was Sonny Chiba.
Yeah.
And even then, like, I don't know that he did come at all.
No, I don't think he did. The woman who's into him is like, you fuck like you hate women, essentially. Yeah, like, holy shit, dude.
It's like,
maybe try some foreplay or some shit. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he said, like, maybe five words to her, and all of a sudden she is just ready to have his babies.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the stupidest thing.
Is it just how rough her life has been?
Well, true. I mean, we are talking about essentially a prostitute, so who knows?
A prostitute in 1972. If you think about the timeline, her parents probably died in the war. Like, she's probably had it rough.
Look, I believe it if, like, he was how he is, and then maybe he roughed up a yakuza that was giving her a hard time. But he actually didn't do anything for her.
No.
At all.
No.
But like, she's a keeper. Jack Daniels and eggs.
Jack Daniels and
she
eggs.
She was only there to give the necklace. That was her purpose.
Yes, you're right. Yep.
She was a
plot
the
point.
The information and the necklace again.
Yeah.
And didn't
that's why he showed up at the bar that he picked her up at, though.
Yeah.
Is to find out where this sex dungeon orgy thing is.
Yes. And she also wore a see-through negligee with like low underpants.
Those underpants seem kind of baggy too.
Exact things that you pick up on.
I was more disgusted that breakfast was like what scotch and or brandy and egg. Well,
she was
and
talking about making
something.
Some eggs and tofu or some shit. Yeah. Like when she was a kid. Do you like that? I'm like, does
who
it
eats
matter?
That?
I'm just.
He's like said.
You know who eats that?
To...
People in China, in Japan after World War II, where there was nothing.
I was like, where's miso soup and some rice or some shit?
I wouldn't
shit.
Mind yeah. scotch and eggs.
I want a bento box.
Did you say scotched egg?
Scotch egg is pretty good. Pretty good.
It's just sausage, deep fried sausage and an egg, man.
I'll take Cocoa Pops.
He doesn't like
things.
Eggs.
Oh, whoa.
I like scrambled eggs.
Crazy.
And Jack Daniels.
I believe it was Johnny Walker. So wrong booze.
Oh, that's going to come out Rose. Wrong. Scrambled eggs and Jack Daniels. Actually, I don't think Sonny Chiba eats anything in this whole film. He's just really fueled by vengeance.
Rage. Rage.
He has a cool car.
He does have... It's a Charger. Do we agree?
I don't know anything about cars.
It's like a muscle car.
Definitely. 70s muscle car, yeah.
Yeah.
Dodge. He's all hyphy and shit.
He's what?
Nah,
I don't know. It goes broom.
Broom. Yeah. That was my favorite killing at the beginning. So at the beginning, we start off with a few murders. Like he's murdering a few people. And
just to get the ball rolling.
Just to get the, you know... The,
the gang fights
the
going.
Gang, the gang violence rolling.
Work
and
experience.
One, he chases a guy through, let's just call it a quarry. Or it was more of a dock.
It was more of a dock situation.
Dock situation. With the car and, you know, drives around him and basically uses the car as if he's hunting him with the car and then runs over it right at him and then swerves and only runs over his hand and shit. It was pretty well done.
And kills him. That's how he dies, isn't it?
Bloodlust from the hand.
I don't know.
It didn't really say. Eventually, he dies, but that was the best shot that they had.
It was a montage of his, I guess, him
executions.
Yeah, his execution. Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. He's executing this yakuza.
And I need to make mention of what I've read in a review, because Rachel called it and Nathan called it during the movie. But before I watched the movie, there's a review and it says, fight in a shipyard? Check. Fighting a junkyard full of odd tires? Check. Fighting a quarry? Check. And as the movie was playing in real time, Rachel's like, where's the quarry? And bang, there's the quarry.
There's the quarry.
In the quarry, you get the bonus Christian iconography with the crucifix, and you get an explosion.
Explosion, yep.
What was funny was before at the back of a dump truck, it was covered in a tarpaulin, and we're like, "Well, where's this girl?" Because he's kidnapped the actually not Sonny Chiba, but
the other guy from the other gang. I can't remember their name.
Azumi.
Azumi was the bad guy.
He was the big boss.
And yeah, and they kidnapped his daughter. But who was the other guy who kidnapped? What gang was he from? Like Kyo. Yeah, that's a fucking
Kyokai.
But then it was like this tarpaulin.
Cobra Kai. That's
and then was it you, Mikey, or Nathan?
No, Nathan said.
Nathan said she's on a
crucifix.
Some kind of crucifix, yeah. Right? Didn't know that though.
I'm gonna think that maybe subconsciously I knew that from a trailer or something.
Oh, possibly. Okay, and then she was on.
Yeah, but I knew that she was gonna like it was gonna be something arty because it's the 70s. It's a Yakuza flick. They do that kind of shit.
Not only was she on a crucifix, she was on a white crucifix wearing a white top with one boobie hanging out. I was like, oh man.
Not to do it. Distract from the iconography and the boob hanging out, but someone that deals with machinery to spin around like that with the tray going like that is extremely dangerous, and you're asking to roll that truck on its side. He is very fortunate that he didn't roll the truck on its side.
And kill that girl?
Hail to the stuntman.
Yeah.
Hail to that girl, then.
Lucky his supervisor wasn't watching. Well, he was alone by then because everyone else was fucking dead.
Now, we're kind of rushing through this because the plot is very, I guess it's kind of simple. We can break it right down.
And even the things that are good, like the action, which isn't great, like what can you say about it? It's like there's a lot of like shaky cam and there's a lot of punches and kicks and shots. A lot of people have Tommy guns in this movie. Lots of like machine gun fire.
Gangster violence.
It's one of those gun movies where they don't count the bullets. They just like keep firing until that's enough for that scene kind of thing.
Two things I want to point out to when the guns shoot, you get that old style sound effect, which you don't really get anymore ever, except for movies that are sort of parodying old westerns.
Like a ricochet sound.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
There is a sick scene where they're driving through of a coffin and the coffin's got a bunch of guns in it and they blast through the other guy.
Oh, yeah. They shoot out of the coffin.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a hearse that has like a coffin top on it.
It's the Ecto one with a coffin on top.
A Japanese style, like Buddhist, like funerary. It's very cool. It's a cool hearse.
I did like the hearse, and they did have the Ecto One ambulance in
right
it as
the
well.
End.
Yeah, right. When the sister gets hit in traffic,
there is only one fisticuff scene, I think, which is between Sonny Chiba and the other assassin.
That's the only proper one. That's not multi people.
Yeah,
yeah.
And even, that was very shaky too.
Even that one felt like crappy.
It's just American fighting. It was very punch kick,
and not even like, you know, wind up hit. It's very quick, like no power hit as well. And the choreography was just
kickboxing
poor.
Hadn't been invented yet. Like, well, I mean, it had been invented, but it wasn't on film because
even like thinking about the age, 72 is even early for Chinese movies to be any good.
Mm.
Chinese movies were like still like Shaw Brothers, very slow kind of sets,
and they would just be one. It would be in front of one camera.
Yeah,
bump, 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 bump.
This felt free flowing, but you just couldn't.
This
see
was
what the
again
hell's going on.
Looked like Star Trek to me. I just couldn't get over that. I was like, oh yeah, this is Star Trek. You just play that shit over the top, you know the.
And the prostitute was a green alien.
That's right.
Yeah.
I also feel like this movie is like rather make no choice than just do one steady cam shot or whatever it is, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then just do crazy things all over the place for the sake of it.
I suppose it increases the chaos when it's just all over the place. And everyone's like, oh, this is crazy.
They had some weird lighting effects as well, mostly at the beginning of the movie. And as you were saying, there's one scene where it was actually quite cool where he's talking to the cops, but there's a second cop that's in the shadow and you only see him as the light flashes over him.
That was cool.
I don't know if that would work on any. I don't think that would work on a non-Blu-ray. I think it would look like shit on a DVD or a VHS.
True.
But also, like, my TV's pretty good. My TV's an OLED.
In the cinema. That's the intention.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't know that you could do those shots now because I don't think there's
too
many movies now which they have that level of saturation of black. You know what I mean? Like, they have now, it's like almost high dynamic range, so you always see something in the shadow.
Isn't it unusual to have a completely pitch black scene?
Whereas this is like, what, like 60% black on the screen?
Yeah, and I'm not like, ooh, my OLED's pretty good. The reason I have an OLED is because the blacks are real fucking black.
Well, yeah, but it's not. I mean, the TV represents the film as it's meant to be shown, right? But the way they shot it was like, nah, this is black. because we want to highlight certain parts. So it's an artistic choice.
Yes,
I think it does highlight, as we're saying before, that there's a couple of things they go for and try in the movie with artistic, stylistic choices through shots, the camera on the angle, the lighting, etc. Yeah. Some of them, they definitely do not pull off. Some of them, quite interesting. Maybe it didn't come off as much as what they were going for.
That scene with the cop you're talking about, Mike, it's got the scene's actually really static. Nothing's moving except the light. And that's what adds the action to the scene.
That's true. It's just basically exposition.
Yeah.
But they did miss that opportunistic, when you're doing that with someone in the shadows, just having them disappear all of a sudden. And the light flashing with nothing there.
Yeah. Adds a bit of tension to it.
The Batman kind of disappearance.
But then they'll have another scene where there's a group. Sorry, Scott. They have a scene with a group. And then the camera would be so tight on people's faces and just swing between one person's eyes to the next person's eyes.
Well, Sonny Chiba's face.
What the fuck am I looking at?
Well, that's also a very Western thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but they usually cut away, right? Like it's a smash cut.
Sometimes.
Eyes. Whereas this is just like, whoa. Tommy, it's you.
It's just Sonny Chiba's eyes. He's so magnificent.
Well, the cameraman wasn't supposed to be.
We'll get a bit of time.
Yeah, no,
do you want to brag about your TV a little bit more?
No. It's actually kind of small. It's only 55 inch. It's kind of old at this point. I would like a new one.
It's fitting to the space.
Yeah, I can't actually have a bigger TV.
What's right the there, refresh right rate on that thing?
It's pretty good. It can go up to 120.
Holy shit, that's crazy. That's anyway. Double 60.
No.
Talking about other shots and stuff, like I don't know if it's technology at the time or it's meant to be like that, but to me, a lot of the lighting seems like it's late afternoon. And there's that awesome shot where he's walking across the docks and it's like sunset just before the credits. Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Excellent.
That was a great shot. And the other one when he's meeting the other Yakuzari boss in the reeds and stuff as well.
Yeah, that was beautiful as well. There's a lot of nice shots.
The other one I was going to say, dancing amongst the roses. Dancing, inverted commas.
Well, when you talk about dancing, the death scenes, the death throes of people in this film when they're getting shot was just...
Overacting?
Oh, so overdramatic.
And the one, I love the ones where they, you know, they're doing the acting obviously without the sound and they neglected to add a gunshot in and he's doing the flip and it's like, but no one shot you.
Broken glasses missing from one as well. We were throwing
the bottle over his shoulder. You're like, damn, you needed that sound.
Or when they're walking on the docks and it sounded like someone just knocking on wood or something.
Sometimes I'd like to... Again.
Refoley these things.
Refoley these things. He throws that ball up. Ah, fuck you, boy.
Something completely odd, just throw it up.
Music is pretty spare in this movie, and most of the time it's like single, I guess, reverb surfy guitar, I guess, but not like white.
It reminds, it's surfy guitar. There's a lot of trumpet or sax, like a lot of jazzy, slow jazzy bits.
Spy guitar.
Yeah, but there's also seems to be... some thick wires being hit. A lot of like reverby.
It's probably guitar, but it should be used a bit more, but I can't do it.
Just rim shots on the drum or something? I don't know.
Oh, and also don't forget harmonica. The harmonica to give it.
Oh, it was a harmonica.
Got to have the Western harmonica in there, don't you?
I want to bring it back to the plot and just highlight my biggest problem with this film, which is Sonny Chiba getting both of his hands injured. he is a gunslinger.
Yes.
Let's not forget he's a Western gunslinger. And he inexplicably allows his hands to be injured, really.
Definitely the second time.
Yeah.
The first time it was kind of as part of the fight it happened. And it was
the second time it didn't make any sense.
The second time it didn't make any sense. Because there was no reason. Yeah.
And he's essentially like gimped himself with his two
Or should we say there were... Well, I say there's no reason. The reason was to try and advance the plot point that they wanted to have him fire without having the use of his hands, which just seemed stupid. He could have had it shot and it would have been exactly the same impact.
Yeah, he just wanted... They wanted to handicap him, literally.
Yes. Literally, yeah.
And exactly. They did, and then he didn't matter anyway. He MacGyvered his way through the situation.
Would it have worked better if they showed a 10-second shot of him rigging that shit up and being like, oh, I don't have to use my hands through these guns, or some kind of
explanation? You know what he could have done? They could have gone like, he hurt my right hand, and then try and shoot with his left hand and not be as good.
Yeah, that would be better.
And then go, like, I have to do something to accomplish.
You say that, but I really like the fact that he had to MacGyver up like a wheel and a shotgun and some lines.
Ridiculous. He puts up rear vision mirrors, and this must have taken him half a day.
In the quarry.
In a quarry, and he's got a gun on a wheel with like strings attached to his mangled hands.
duct tape to the wheel.
Ridiculous. Like, absolutely ridiculous. It's as if he had chicken pox and had to cover his hands so he couldn't scratch it.
And I'm just going to point out, I think he might shoot 40 people in this scene. Yeah.
And it looks like a shotgun to me that doesn't have the kind of range that he's using this thing for. It's like literally across a giant ditch on the other side hitting people.
It's incredibly lucky all of these people were at the exact same angle as the wheel that he set up.
Well, to be fair, he did kind of set that up because he had explosions. So he did funnel them into a spot.
Also, those guns would have jammed. Now, how about this? How about he goes back to the girl who made him the eggs and says, I need your help. And they sort of form a partnership. And she's like, I can shoot a gun.
Nah, she would just use him for sex. Because now he can't resist at all.
But what if she knows how to shoot a gun? What if they attacked him?
That lady doesn't know nothing but misery.
You don't know that. You didn't ask her that.
It'd be funny if the gun was connected to a boob and every time he mashed it, it would shoot.
It did seem that the whole point, apart from the wheel shots, with the handicap, I'll call it, was only for that one scene where they go for the bad guy, the end bad guy. He's just shot the other Yakuza boss and he's down on the ground with his rifle, and he walks up and puts his foot specifically over the top of the rifle and uses his foot to aim it for the guy that's dying on the floor.
Yeah, I thought that was nice.
They worked it backwards from
I feel like they did.
Yeah, it's like this is the idea they had, and they kind of needed to get justification that he doesn't need to pick it up and shoot himself. But it's like, well, he could have just done that with able hands and just made it cool that he did that in the first place to throw the guy off.
Or they could have shot his hands in like the last scene. Or Jesus style, you know, like I can hardly
stigmata.
Yeah, that's right.
So if like crippling his hands isn't for sympathy, it's just for the whole look what he can do with hands, which is sort of like, you know, that kind of exploitation, like crippled masters or something.
That's right.
Yeah. It just felt unnecessary.
Well, it was, but it was still. I differ. I kind of like the fact that he's got
no hands.
He's got no hands at the end of it. I kind of like how dumb it is.
It's just like, stupid.
That was the thing to me.
It took it over the top. Like, not just one hand fucked up.
Yeah.
Both hands fucked up. Dude needs a mirror.
Yeah.
and a weird like. I don't know. It looks like a truck wheel, right? Yeah,
steering wheel.
Yeah, it looks like a steering wheel. It's great. And he's got like strings and he's quickly, easy and able to put them over triggers and stuff. He's like, yeah.
I kept thinking of if he tied some drums to his legs and maybe some cymbals to his hats, he could also
It'll be a one-man band?
The Dick Van Dyke. Yeah. Why not?
I kind of liked it because it got ridiculous. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
It was ridiculous.
I just kept making me think of bloody, you know, shotgun on a string and bazooka on a string.
That's cooler. That's
chainsaw cooler. On a string.
Yeah, they take it that extra step. You know, or maybe if you're going to make it still crazy.
They could have blinded him, right?
Wow.
And then he had to shoot like blind gunslinger.
And no hands.
No hands.
But the whole point is it's temporary, so who gives a fuck, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no revenge involved at all.
He's blinded. The woman comes and helps. Go left, bang.
Yeah.
Right, bang.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's way cooler.
Now, question for you, Nathan. You've watched... I dare say you've watched a lot more Yakuza films than
I've watched
of
a lot of Yakuza films.
How does this rank in terms of, is that a similar kind of vibe to the movies you watch?
It's more like, honestly, most of them slightly less action, a lot less booby. Slightly less action, a lot less booby, but when there is action, it's like the action in that movie. Mm. Like where that movie's like, I said 30-35% action, most Yakuza films 15-25%.
Do you like them from this era or do you prefer 80s, 90s stuff?
I like this era. I think that there's a lot of them for this era. I like older ones as well.
I think the director of this is those movies I talked about earlier. Maybe those are more Yakuza. If you like, if you want to follow that guy, maybe you get some more of this
stuff. I really like Battles Without Honor and Humanity. I think that's a good series of movies, but I've got other ones up there, you know, like a bunch. I don't want to even go with it. Yes, but this is actually more actiony than most of them are.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Most of them are more like potboilers.
This feels more like a Western than any Yakuza film I've seen.
Yeah, the things that get me about it are there's usually like a hired hand who's working for the bad guys, like in this, mm-hmm. who's like, don't, you know, he's equal to the hero. There's usually some corrupt cops. There's usually some back and forth. Like there's a lot of, they hit a lot of beats in this film.
I don't feel like Sonny Chiba is defending his clan or his honor or anything.
No.
He's just
a
force of nature.
No. But a lot of these movies will start a guy who is out of the loop.
Lost everything.
Like, he's just got out of prison, or his group has already been destroyed, or something along those lines. Yeah, he's usually outside in some way. It's usually not like an established guy in an established gang.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah. Well, look, I've been thinking back to this film and going through. I don't know, this is a very stunt-heavy film.
No. Except for the ladies.
Yeah, the poor ladies, everybody's touching their breasts. That must be very...
Not in a nice way.
No. No. And I mean, like, I guess I do have boobs, but yeah, I don't know that
boobs.
I would like... Huh?
Man boobs.
No, I know. Like, I wouldn't want my moves. My moves.
My moves. Moves.
Smashed. Moves. Moves smashed. I do feel... I hope they got paid. Well, I bet they were.
I bet that they did.
No, they didn't.
But other than the stunts, because not a very stunt-heavy film, is there anything from this film that you guys think... the one that I was thinking of is I'd like to wear those tight red pants that one of the mooks was wearing, because I thought, ooh, red pants, pretty cool.
I'd like to drive that car really fast down a dock.
The Charger, yeah.
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 I shouldn't. It'd be dangerous, but I want to do that.
That's why you want to do it, though.
That's right, 100%.
Yeah. That's pretty good, actually.
I did like, that was probably my favorite scene of
actually, thinking about scene. It, the car gets pretty close to a lot of people. Like, there's a lot of car stunts in this that aren't, they don't look deadly, but they could be.
The truck as well.
Yeah.
But I think that might be editing. I don't know if they did that close.
Like, I'm just going to say, with the budget of this movie, they did whatever they did.
Yeah. Yeah. They probably had no permits.
Which is probably why it's so shaky when they're filming in the city at any point.
The cops are coming.
Run.
What about you, Mikey?
I did like the car bit as well, but if I had to choose something else, maybe I'm just gonna, you know, shoot shotguns without my hands.
Shoot shotguns with your teeth, yeah, with
just your mind.
Wow!
Pull on some strings somehow.
You know, that spinny thing is very much like in Star Wars, where they're shooting in the Han Solo.
Yeah, it's true.
I got one.
Yeah, yeah.
This movie predates Star Wars.
There you go.
72. Ooh.
Didn't he actually watch Kurosawa?
Yeah, this is Forbidden Fortress. Hidden Fortress, sorry.
Amusing. Maybe he watched this too. Maybe he got the...
Scott,
I can't speak for Christian, but I'm going to speak for Christian. Say, Sex Dungeon.
Sex Dungeon.
But, mine was like the bartender keeps drinking everybody's drinks.
Oh, that's cool. That's very funny. Explain that. That's
Monkey
second
number
pixie.
Two.
Second no, pixie second as well. Pixie.
Yeah, sorry, monkey.
Explain that,
Scott. We have the Yakuza boss and... what's his name?
The assassin, let's call him.
Gosuke. Inamura, is that his name? I can't remember, sorry. We just watched it, I can't remember. And they're sort of passive-aggressively talking to each other and ordering drinks, and you drink it. It's from you. You drink it, and the bartender's getting very
shit-faced
very quickly.
I thought that was because they were afraid it was going to be poison.
That's what I thought too, but
no, I just
he would have poured the drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Technically asked for scotch, not that, so meh.
And then the bartender had to drink it. But the bartender was pouring the same drink into the same glass that he just drank out of.
I thought it was weird too.
Yeah. Hey, alcohol kills germs. Fuck it.
I guess.
I'd be like, I'm not drinking that.
These are paying customers. So you want to be the bartender, or you'd want to be the...
It's nice to give bartenders some tips sometimes.
Yeah,
right?
That's nice.
I'll be really Japanese girly. Direct kiss.
That's some weeb shit there, right?
I don't know.
Sex Dungeon.
Tommy Guns was just so
Tommy
stupid.
Tommy Guns cool.
Yeah.
They're just really stupid.
That one fight sequence, the mass fight sequence at the funeral.
The gang fight, yeah.
Is good.
That was the bad. The one thing that they didn't put much effort into for me was the gun violence. The guns, although they're firing, never seem to do any damage to anything other than
that's
people.
I think that's because they only had so many squibs. Yeah. And when the big
but,
gun battle, there was...
Definitely budget, but...
Yeah, not
that,
very
that
much.
Was, yeah. It's just like, it's just making noise.
Yeah. That reminded me, that funeral gun battle reminded me a lot of Big Trouble in Little China.
Had a vibe.
Yeah, yeah, it was like, oh, the Wing Kong are here. But yes. No, the action was definitely kind of... what they could get away with with their budget.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of gun battle and a little bit of fisticuffs, but not really that much. Is this something that we would watch again?
I wouldn't watch it again. I wouldn't mind watching the sequel because apparently it's a bit more psychedelic than this one.
Okay.
This one's a bit more gritty, and I wouldn't mind checking out more movies by this director just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, nice.
I don't think I'd watch this again.
Well, are you in luck? The sequel's on the same disc. Let's get to it.
All right.
So,
welcome to the Asian Action.
A thumbs up, thumbs down as well?
Thumbs in the middle, leaning down. I didn't think it was that bad, but it was kind of dull in place and they could have cut some bits out.
Yeah, I agree with that. Rachel?
It's probably down because dicks are down.
Dicks are down?
Boobs are mashed. It's just,
wait, hang on.
It's a little much.
Does that mean that you would give it a thumbs up if dicks were up?
Everyone just like apparently just got off in like 2 seconds. So, you know, that's people in the cinema
have some
too.
Have stamina,
probably.
Goddammit.
No staying power. So, thumbs down and...
I mean, Sonny Chu was very attractive, but he's also fucking misogynist.
Yes.
So.
Yes. I know, what a dilemma, right?
Yeah. Which one will I choose?
Yeah. I probably... No, you know what? I'm going to give this thumbs leaning up. Because I really like what it's trying to do. I don't know that it necessarily does it. Would I watch it again? Yeah, probably not. Because I'd probably watch the sequel or another Sonny
Chu. I'm being serious. In this pack that I've got, there's the sequel to this and there's two other like Yakuza fighting movies in there where he plays like a bodyguard. Mm. A Yakuza bodyguard. I would prefer to watch all three of those before I went back to this.
I think as a bodyguard would be more interesting because he's not like...
Yeah.
He's not on top. He's got to, you know, fight his way through.
He has bosses.
Mm. He has bosses instead of no...
I'm thumbs up.
Yeah.
But I'm an easy mark for this shit. I just like watching the cinematography. Like, I like all the aesthetic choices. I like the style. I like the 70s Japanese. There's a reason I own a lot of these movies.
It's a fun watch. And certainly not much out there like it.
Not
well.
It isn't... It's not like... I can't recommend the movie for the plot or the action either or the sex scenes. But if you like the,
I can't recommend anything about this film.
But if you like the aesthetics, it's good.
I think it's trying to do something, so at least it's doing something's better than nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's very stylistic into this, you know, gangland western yakuza-y kind of style, and I'm probably in the middle to down on it. Just
I can understand
the film itself isn't that great.
No.
Overall, when you combine all the parts, it definitely has that style, but because I've seen other ones that are done much better, I have to rank it against those in my mind, and then it falls away. So obviously, this is an earlier version of that as well, being 72. So this is probably one of the first versions, and then the other ones that I've seen have had the benefit of watching what didn't work and then building from there. So maybe putting it in that context, it's an okay film.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of rate it higher when we have the perspective of everything that came after it.
Yeah.
Maybe if we hadn't seen anything else before.
Like, can you imagine this movie with everything being the same, but the fights, instead of him occasionally shooting people and doing the weird Star Trek stuff, he does the Street Fighter fights?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Or imagine if we had never seen anything else like this before and this was the first thing that came out, we were like, whoa.
It feels like it's in between for me, like... There's some like Tokyo Drifter, like Young Beast kind of like Yakuza movies that are arty. And then there's like the Dime a Dozen, like Diamond Guys kind of Yakuza movies, which are like this, but there's like even less action and less violence and less stuff in them. It's like right in the middle there. And it's a hard thing to say you should watch because it's right in the middle. It's not really doing either very well, but it's still good.
It's good. It's got a fantasy element to it. So I think. Yeah, worth checking out if you're marginally curious about Sonny Chiba or Yakuza films in general.
Not the first port of call, though.
No.
That'd be the Street Fighter, I think.
But if you're listening to this podcast, you must have had some kind of interest in it, right?
Like, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Before we wrap it up, got a couple things to touch on here. Rest in peace, Steve Albini. Legendary
I didn't know he was dead.
He died a couple of days ago.
Fuck, he wasn't that old.
Recording it, he was 61. Been in a couple of legendary bands and... Recorded a lot of albums. Certainly ruffled a few feathers back in his day over some of the shit he said, but, 61 is too young. Also, your band played with...
They smote Sabor Shellac in 2012. That's a while ago. That's lucky, I guess.
Yeah. It was really cool to see them. They were cool. Recently, I watched a movie the other day called Over the Town, which is an action movie at all. Like, not a lot happens in it at all.
It's interesting in Shima Kitazawa, so if you're interested in that.
But
I stayed there for 3 weeks once.
The dialogue is so... Like, everybody's so forthright and not giving a fuck. They're just telling it like it is. I've never seen a Japanese movie that sort of has that kind of dialogue before. So it's kind of interesting because nothing really happens. And then this cop rocks up who clearly was written for Jiro Sato, but it's not Jiro Sato, and sort of says some stuff. Everybody goes, oh, and then they have a sort of revelation and they go back to doing... Interesting film. And also... This will give me a second. This will relate back, but I picked up the new old album by the Australian band called Nunchucker Superfly.
Oh, really?
It's like an old unreleased album from 1995. And the first track on Nunchucker Superfly's debut album, Chow Yun Fat.
Okay.
It's called Chow Yun Fat.
That's fantastic.
That was unreleased? I'm sure I've got a...
The unreleased album had a different singer. Oh. So they shelved it and they just released it this year for Shits and Giggles.
Oh, it was previously unreleased. Mm. Okay.
But their debut album has a song called Chow Yun Fat.
Chow Yun Fat is a good song.
It's a great song.
Oh, check it out.
I'll put it somewhere in this podcast, man.
Yeah, all right. For our listeners, if you like Chow Yun Fat, check it out. Nunchucker Superfly.
Loneliness is Cool is a good song.
It is a good song.
That's them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't remember.
You quoted it.
All right.
I'm hoping. Like, you derailed, this conversation. I dug back into my memory banks to like 1999 for that.
They have a song called Bored Shitless, which is pretty great.
Please call in anybody, all of our listeners, if you want to tell us what your favorite Chow Yun Fat song is. Asian Actioncast, Gmail, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
You haven't got any saucy comments on Facebook lately?
Yeah, I did actually. I got called out for one of my posts that I put up. I said mistakenly, I don't know that it was mistakenly, but look, I'll cop it. I said, welcome back to the big screen with City Hunter. And one of the first comment actually was just like, big screen. How big is this guy's TV?
I'm like, bitch, I got a projector, son.
Yeah.
You say Nathan's TV is pretty big.
Right, it's not. Mine's only 55 inches.
It's a Netflix release, yes. I'm sure it showed in some cinemas in Japan, but...
Yeah.
Come on, if you're watching shit on your phone, a TV is a big screen.
It was big to me.
City Hunter is larger than life.
That's yeah, right.
That's true.
Oh, actually, on that note, Makari. Which means boner, for those of you who are uninitiated.
Ooh, bye.
It's the sound a boner makes, Scott McCurry.
I thought it goes boing.
Not in Japan. Oh, okay, yeah.
I thought it was the sound of one of those slide whistles going up.
On that note, thanks for listening.
Have a great time.
Next time.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, I'm uncultured.